Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The misconception that we're going to discuss today vis-a-vis Islamic dietary laws is that there are some people who believe that since alcohol is not expressly forbidden in the Quran, so therefore there is some lenience in this regard and a person perhaps can consume a small amount of alcohol. And they say that since the express forbiddance of alcohol is not found the way it is found, for example, for dead meat, the way it is, for example, it is found for pork, it's not that the Quran has said innama harrama the way it has said about other prohibited items, so therefore it's not expressly forbidden. Now this is indeed a grave misconception, and it needs to be understood first of all that the whole Sharia has to be understood in the light of the total guidance which the Almighty has provided, and we can easily split this total guidance into two parts. The first guidance which the Almighty has provided us can be called innate guidance. It is guidance about good and evil. It is guidance about what is bad and what is good, and what is found in our own nature, in which there is no external agency which is needed in the first place or in the original place to decipher whether something is right or wrong. One's own conscience, one's own one's nature tells oneself whether something is right or wrong. So this is the first guidance by God. And it can be called the innate guidance. Only where in areas where this innate guidance can falter does the Almighty reveal His divine guidance in order to correct this innate guidance or in order to guide this innate guidance. So therefore we can say that guidance by the Almighty is divided broadly into innate guidance and then into divine guidance or revealed guidance. Now, as far as prohibition of certain eating material is concerned, eating items is concerned, it needs to be kept in mind that the Almighty in the Quran has not presented us with a list of prohibited items simply because one owns innate guidance. One's own nature is sufficient in most cases to guide him as to what is right and what is wrong. And the Quran has just said that the tayyibat, or things which are appropriate for eating, they are allowed, and khabais, or things which are inappropriate for eating, they are disallowed. And as far as tayyibat and khabais are concerned, the Quran is not given a list simply because one's own nature is absolutely equipped in this regard to give a judgment. And precisely for this reason, we find that the prohibition of alcohol is found in one's own human nature, because anything which intoxicates, anything which inebriates, it has been the unanimous verdict of mankind that all such things is forbidden. No one likes people who get intoxicated. Intoxication and inebriation are states of mind, are states of a person which are condemned by the collective conscience of mankind. So, and there is no need for any external guidance in this regard. This is like saying that in order to say whether something is just or not, one needs to go out and ask someone. No, justice and the concept of justice or the conception of justice is found within one's own nature, within one's own self. So in a similar manner, the fact that anything which inebriates, anything which intoxicates to such an extent has to be prohibited, it is the verdict of human nature. Now, in spite of this fact that no external prohibition was required for alcohol, we find that in the times of the revelation of the Quran, people still pose this question. And at one instance, the Quran said that ismuhuma akbaru min nafihima, regarding alcohol and regarding gambling, that their benefit or their sin is much more than the benefit that they give. And that, and at still another place, the Quran has said that innamal khamru wal maisiru wal ansabu wal azlam rijsum min amali shaytan fajtanibuhu. Arrows and consumption of alcohol is rijsum min amali shaytan, which means dirty handiworks of Satan. And these words are even more severe and even more hard, and they present an even more harsher picture of alcohol than merely saying that it is prohibited. So we can sum up the whole matter and say that the prohibition of alcohol is found in one's own human nature, and that's why it was not needed by the Quran to have it to regard it to be a prohibited item, because the Quran's style of prohibiting things is that only when there is some possibility that human intellect might falter does it guide human nature, human intellect, by telling us that such and such thing is prohibited in regarding eating. And in this particular case, this was not required, but because the verdict of human nature was that alcohol is prohibited because it causes intoxication. And when people still, in the time of the revelation of the Quran, posed this question, the Quran came out even more harshly and said that it's ritsum min amal shaytan, which means it is a dirty handiwork of Satan, fajtanibu, and people must abstain from it. So therefore, we can say that the prohibition of alcohol, although it is not mentioned in the same vein and same style as some of the other things are by saying in Namah Harrama, it is mentioned in even more harsher words and even more serious in more serious words when the words said are in innam al khamru wal maisir wal ansab wal azlam ridsum min amal shaitan, which means that of all the things, of the other things which are mentioned, consumption of alcohol is a dirty handiwork of Satan. So people must deliberate on this verse of the Quran as well, and without going through this verse, of course, they'll be misled into a lot of things regarding the consumption of alcohol the way it is mentioned in the Quran. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ